think this is like take six. Okay. And we're recording.
Nice.
And I have no idea what I do. This has just been one of those strange days where Robert and I talking about the different radio shows. I said, have you listened to, Fishy Radio, one of the other shows? And he's like, no. And I'm like, man, I said, after all the years and everything I've done with all these different shows and everything else, it's women that are, they have a, you gotta watch them when they're on the, talking on the radio. They just get, okay, I'm gonna do this, and they're like, uh-oh, naughty stuff,
right?
Like, goodness gracious, you would think the guys would be the bad ones all the time.
Yeah, you would think you'd have to have your finger on the edit button and have that 7-second delay ready to go.
Oh no, it's, well, you get four women all talking about fishing and having a good time, you don't know what's coming out of their mouth.
Oh yeah.
So
that was quite interesting.
Robert's sitting there laughing. He's got tears in his eyes.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
So if you haven't listened to the Fishy Radio stuff, you might want to listen to a couple of them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
I'm going to have to put a different rating on their show.
Right? Yeah. Depending on the moment, it can range from a scale of G to...
Oh, no. They went right to R a couple of times. Yeah. You know, no, I did edit out those words.
NC-17, is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's what it was. NC Alex.
Nice.
All right. Let's see. The Peace River, anything up there?
I've got some juvenile tarpon and snook up by the Shell Creek Dam in pretty good numbers. But overall in the Peace River, didn't get really a whole lot this week. The reports are a little scattered because of the weird weather we've had. People going out for an hour or two and then having to run from thunderstorms, and then other people saying, eh, I'm going to risk it and actually making out okay.
When I called in at the show with Josh, I was had questions for you and everything, and you weren't there.
Well, I can't hear because they don't give me a microphone, so I walk out to the lobby and listen to it on the 7-second delay.
Oh, okay.
It screws with me every time.
We were talking about different lures, and, you know, we've had about three requests for this spider thing that's coming out. It's for bass. And over the years, we've bought... Remember the one you pulled the string and the tail would flap around?
Yeah.
I had one of those around here somewhere. I don't know. Maybe we still do. And we had the bird. We've got the ducks. We got the snake. We've got the giant frogs. I mean, over the years, we've bought all these crazy things that, you know.
Borderline gimmicky.
No, they're just straight out gimmicky. You know, you find, I've got a pond I can go to, and I can take any lure from anywhere, any color, and I will catch bass with it on the top or down below.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just no-brainer. The fish will just, you're going to hit anything that moves in that lake because it's a very... You know, it's not a very big lake, and there's a gazillion bass in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could make any lure look good. But,
true.
You know, and they always, we buy our first shipment, and we get down to the last couple, and then those last couple sit there on the shelf until they fall out of the package.
Yeah.
Until the package just gives up and rots away.
Yeah, it's been wiped down enough, the Windex takes it out. Or you moved know, enough.
Have you ever thought about, you know, okay, I'm going to go out here in the back and I'm going to, oh, there's a big spider, I'm going to grab him and put him on a hook?
Never. Never. Not one single time ever.
Yeah, I don't know why people, I guess because, you know, they make a cool video with some great music and all that. And I know it'll catch fish. I'm not doubting that aspect of it.
No, fish eat everything. I mean, they're all opportunistic feeders.
But I guess, you know, if you're the first one to bring something out and it's a cool new look, and I'm going to give them a lot of credit for bringing out something that nobody else ever brought out, and that's a big spider for catching bass.
Right. At least it's different.
At least it's different. I'll give them good credit for that.
Different frog, different crawfish, something.
Well, it's one of the problems. I don't even go to the new case show thing at ICAST anymore because, you know, you get a DOA cow shad, and you go into the new product showcase, and you've got something that looks exactly like a DOA cow shad with a different type of tail.
Yeah.
It's a little bit bigger, or it's a little rounder, or it's a little whatever, and yeah. This is supposed to be a new product.
Yeah.
You know, and
you get nominated for it on top of that?
Right.
You know, yeah, no, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're there and it's really boring and we'll go walk around the new product showcase, but I don't really, do you ever remember seeing a new product at the new product showcase?
Yeah, they have their one little section up by the front, usually right as you walk in, and that's actually like the winners.
Yeah, that's right, just the winners, but I'm talking about, have you seen a new product? Do you remember when we walked through the new product showcase, do you ever remember seeing a new product and not a redone of somebody else's product? It's okay. I don't have any memory of seeing
the duck.
And yeah, the duck was a cool lure.
But two of them came out at the same time, so I'm not sure if one came out right before the other.
Yeah.
So
and now there's spider, so yeah, give him credit. He's thinking outside the spider web.
Right.
All right, I-75. Yeah, he's thinking inside the cave. He's not thinking outside the box. He's inside the cave.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess we'll order some. I'll call and see what happens Monday.
Yeah.
All right, I-75.
I-75's still got some nice black drum hanging around it. A couple guys have been catching a few snook, and the juvenile tarpon have been there, but they've been real heavy one day, and then only a couple the next day, and then back to heavy again. And they're 10 to 50 pounders. You know, it's not great, but it's weird, is what I would call it.
I think we should, a lot of the bigger predators, the black drum, the snook, the tarpon, fish like that, all should be coming up around 41 I-75 with all that flow coming down the river. It's up to 9 feet.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we've got several thousand cubic feet a second coming down. So there's a lot of water pushing down. And at 9 feet, it's hard for the tilapia, the Mayan cichlids, the babies to hold place in the river.
Right.
And they keep getting pushed down further and further and further. So, you know, that usually attracts a lot of big predators.
It's funny how they can feel that and sense that with the fresh water change and the bait fish that are being pushed down to move up there, because it like happens overnight.
Well, even with as dull as human senses are, we can smell a forest fire ahead of us.
Sure.
And it's the same basic thing. You get a different smell coming down the water.
Yeah.
So, all right, 41.
41 Bridge has got kind of the same thing going on. The black drum, some snook, a lot of tarpon of assorted sizes, though, from 10 pounders to 100 pounds. And then they've also been catching a couple of juvenile bull sharks off of there. And I heard of a few small trout being caught by the bumpers in the middle on both bridges. So that was an interesting little spin. Overall, you know, a little on the quiet side, but a good variety of fish. Got no snapper, which is kind of weird. It's like those just totally turned off.
I think they spawned, and the big ones all headed to the Gulf, and the little ones had nothing to do with it anyway.
Right.
Lashley Pier,
a couple of small bull sharks, a couple of drum, and a few snook at night. Overall, it's been a little bit on the quiet side there.
No, I almost thought we were going to blank out on that one. I already had it blanked.
Yeah.
All right, Bayshore.
Bayshore, I got nothing, to be honest.
Port Charlotte Canals.
Jacks. Some black drum. There's been some snook pretty regularly through there, especially closer to the mouths. And then a lot of juvenile tarpon kind of scattered throughout the whole canal system. I've heard of still a couple of small bull sharks being caught up in the canals also too this week. one guy actually watched one swim by his dock, and he thought that was just the most awesome thing he's ever seen, because he's never seen a shark swimming before, but let alone in his canal. You know, he heard us talk about it on the radio a couple weeks ago about him swimming, and he just said it just kind of lollygagged right by, kept on going. But he was he thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. How's the water in your canals?
It's starting to get darker.
Yeah, mine got real dark.
Yeah.
I can't even see a foot down now.
Yeah, I've got about 6 inches of good visibility, and after that it's nothing.
And yeah.
And that happened, well, probably in the last 4 days, 5 days.
The river, it's been going up almost a foot every day for the last 4 days.
Okay.
So, anyway, Elder Bean.
Elder Bean's been really good. A lot of snook, some really big snook actually been being caught off there at night. And then there's a lot of juvenile tarpon in the mornings right around both bridges. And then there's still been a few black drum. And then there's been some decent jacks. They're in that 5 pound range. And they're mixed in with all those tarpon first thing in the morning out around those bridges. A lot of guys are catching them by trolling, actually, small terror eyes and the small Rapalas, and they're just kind of slow trolling back and forth across the front of the bridge, letting it just kind of get pulled towards the bridge and picking up those juvenile tarpon and jacks. Kind of interesting, because I'm used to hearing those guys either anchoring or trolling motor and casting towards the pilings, but the two guys said that they've just been slow trolling because there's nobody there to bother them, so they're not getting in anybody's way.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people are figuring out that by trolling, the fish aren't spooked by an outboard engine, not if it's a consistent sound. They only get spooked if you're turning the motor on, turning the motor off, raising the RPMs, lowering the RPMs, once you're changing the sound. But just a motor cruising through doesn't bother them, because they hear those motors going by all the time.
Always.
So,
absolutely.
You know, trolling is a very, very effective way of catching fish.
Yes, way, way underutilized for anywhere in the harbor.
Well, it's illegal in most bass tournaments for one simple rule. Your lure is always in the water. There's no time where you're bringing it up, casting, in the air, back in the water. It's always in the water.
Gotcha.
So when you're trolling, you're always, you're fishing that whole time. Whereas when you're casting and retrieving, it's the reason fly fishing is not as effective for many fish as a spinning rod or a bait caster, because you spend a lot more time in the air. And
that
so,
makes sense.
You know, you have three times, four times the work to what you can do with a, you know, a bait caster rod or a spinning rod. Not that there isn't a time for a fly rod, there definitely is, but
sure.
It's just basic time. Time in the air versus time in the water.
Makes perfect sense. Something I never thought about.
The Myakka River area?
Myakka River area in general. You got the Tippy Canoe, and the north end of the Myakka Cutoff has actually had some black drum hanging around there. Had a couple reports of some redfish and a few snook. And then there's been some adult tarpon from the Elder Bean Bridge all the way down to the mouth of the river. And then a couple guys, once again, skipped a couple of pompano over on the north end by Hog Island, but only skipped a couple. They didn't catch any, but they at least saw them, so that's always kind of a positive thing. I've never personally caught the pompano over there, but I've seen them enough times and had enough customers catch a lot of pompano off of that whole sandbar there.
Well, one thing about it is I think most of us use too big of baits for them.
Yeah.
Even those pompano jigs over there, I would say would almost be too big.
Yeah.
I think if I'm going to, I'll have to go over there and try it with using a casting bubble and a crappie jig.
Well, there you go.
A little tiny piece of fish bites on it or something like that. Maybe some bloodworm or crab scented fish bites, a little tiny piece just tagged to the hook.
I could see that working pretty well.
You know, it's small enough for them to get a hold of. The big problem with them is you really can't cast them. So in order to cast it, I'd have to add the casting bubble. But I think with the casting bubble, I think I could actually do fairly well.
Yeah.
All right, South Cove Cove, the canals?
Just some Mayan cichlids and some tilapia. A couple guys went there yesterday to go bass fishing, but I never did hear back from them to hear how they did. Just the cichlids.
Yeah, somebody was asking me about it. They said they wanted to catch Mayans and stuff. They saw in the report there. I said, you know, I think you could just park over by the boat ramp and walk over towards that bridge, cast around the bridge, somewhere, you know, cast right around the boat ramp.
Right.
Because they want to do it from land. I said, that would probably be your best bet.
Yeah.
West Wall.
West Wall's quiet up on the top half, but when you get down to the bottom half, been some actual few reports of redfish over there, mostly under the bushes. And then there's still quite a few snook hanging out over there along the bushes. And then on top of the bar, there's been a few pompano, had two reports of bonnet heads being seen but not caught. And then there's been some cobia and tarpon on the outside of the bar, mostly as you get closer towards the Cape Hayes area. So very, very southern tip of the West Wall. It's that area where it buckets in and gets like 8, 10, and I think there's like a 12 or 13 foot depression right kind of in that area.
Now where is this?
That bucket that comes in as Cape Hayes starts to come out, the whole sandbar comes out, and that shoreline kind of hooks out in that bowl.
Oh, yeah, there's you're talking about on the harbor side.
On the harbor side.
It's about 300 yards from the shore. It's on the outside of the main sandbar right there, but it's like the water dug itself a little bay or basin there. And it's actually fairly deep, holds a lot of fish right there, too.
Yeah.
And it's one of the places where, when I was chartering, I would take people who had never really been fishing to get them used to catching, like, ladyfish and trout and things like that, because right. I could usually find some there. It got a little more inconsistent as a lot of other people found it.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, because I would sit there and I would spend, you know, half hour, 40 minutes with some people, you know, getting them to be able to cast and land a fish, and then I would move on to bigger fish and stuff. But people saw me doing that, and I think it's funny, I went there to help people practice, and they went there to do their charters.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? You guys suck.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you think a charter's supposed to be about, catching some small trout and a little bit of ladyfish, you guys are way overpaid for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Cape Hayes has been a little quiet, but there has been some ladyfish on it, some small jacks, a few Spanish mackerel. And then closer to the shoreline right there between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay has been the snook still cruising through there. And then I had one guy said he caught a couple of redfish inside Muddy Bay. But he said they were pretty small. He said they were probably 18, 19 inches, but he's just happy to catch a couple because it's been a while. So when was the last time you fished for him? He said, about 6 months ago. I've been playing with other stuff. I'm like, okay, that helps too.
Yeah, well, you know, I can... Everybody's always telling me, oh, God, it was so much better, you know, this sucks, you know, nowadays, and how much... And I'm like, no, I can remember when there was no fish north of Pirate Harbor.
Right.
When nobody fished the Upper Harbor at all, because it was just, had been cleaned out, the fish were gone. And when you could fish for a month and never catch a redfish, and I mean actually going to fish for redfish and not find one for a month.
Right.
And there was so few fish around, it was unbelievable. And, you know, everybody gets very nostalgic towards the good old days. You know what I mean? I mean, I liked not having a cell phone, but I like having a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pros and cons to it big time. I think it's definitely a 50-50 on that one.
Yeah, it's really weird, you know, and... Things get good, things get bad. I mean, I've seen the fishing here really, really, really bad, really horrible. And I've seen it really awesome. And it's every few years it kind of cycles in and out. But, and right now we're in kind of decent fishing. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
But the best thing about fishing right now is you can get away from a lot of people.
Yeah,
there is not a lot of people out there fishing. And you can come down, you find your own quiet spot, you can catch fish, you can have a good time. You don't have to be in the crowd. And you'll catch some fish, you'll have, you know, your blood pressure will go way down. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, this
Boy,
one
it's
of
been
the best
beautiful things. Last few mornings, too,
oh
hasn't
my
it?
Oh, gosh, these evening rains and overcast is just made for some spectacular mornings.
The morning has just been amazing. If you've been lucky enough to be up, and I still have the nicotine problem, so I get up in the morning, take my coffee, I go sit outside in the porch, and I can, you know, see the TV through the window, and I have my headphones on so I can hear it. And I sit out there, and I'm just, like, in awe watching the sun come up, and it's just, the temperature is perfect.
Yeah.
It's an amazing time. Now, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it ain't so fuzzy and cool and wonderful, you know.
Oh, it's pretty oppressive.
It's pretty nasty, but, boy, you've got a few hours in the morning where it is paradise on earth here.
Yeah.
All right, bull bait, turtle bait.
A lot of snook. There's been some really big snook being caught inside both bull and turtle, inside and on the outside perimeter. There's been a handful of small sharks, both black tips and bull sharks, even a couple of lemons being caught inside there. And then I've heard of some juvenile tarpon in the Turtle Bay side, you know, especially back by that shack along that deeper cut along the shoreline. And then there's also been a handful of ladyfish and a couple of small trout being caught out there on the grass flats in both bull and turtle. No snapper, no baby gags, nothing else like that, but pretty decent back in there. And it's probably getting a little darker with the visibility if it's anything like our house, you know, our backyards. I'd imagine that it's probably starting to get a little...
Turtle Bay would be getting fairly dark, but I don't think Bull Bay would be.
Not quite yet.
No, I think it's a little early for Bull Bay to darken up much, but Turtle Bay, Bull Bay has the inlets on the outside from, you know, Turtle Bay and everything where the water kind of comes in, but then it's a little more open on the back where you've got those ways for the water to get out and the water to come in. So okay. It stays, it's a completely different zone than Turtle Bay, which is more enclosed because of Bull Bay, actually.
Right.
So when that darker water gets in there, it's the reason why last year the red tide came up and it would come into Bull Bay, but never actually got into, only a couple of times that ever get in as far as Turtle Bay.
True.
Because it would compress that fresh water back, but it couldn't get it out of Turtle Bay for the red tide to live there.
I forgot about that.
So it's that weird dividing line. Even though the bays are technically the same place, they're completely different eco-environments between the two of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I totally forgot about that with that red tide last year.
Yeah, everybody's going, oh, the whole area is covered. And I'm like, it didn't even get in Turtle Bay, you know. Give me a break. All right. I guess I'm going to eventually get over being angry about the news, fake news media, you know, the TV nightly news, social media, all the panic and rampage. I get being upset about stuff, but be upset about it in a smart way. We guys, you know, we need to get a lawsuit about this. We need to start petitions about that. I said... But you got to do it smart. You can't just willy-nilly run around. If you're going to petition something, petition the state to publicize on a website the fish stocks. What, you know, over the last 10 years or 20 years, however, 30 years, whatever they've been doing it. Why isn't out there where we can see how the population has gone up and down or stayed the same over the last 20, 30 years?
Right.
Why isn't there a chart of this, a graph of this, a number sheet?
Why do you have to dig for 3 days to try to find it?
You can't even find it. They won't put anything up because when they closed snook, trout, and redfish, they had to lie about it to get it closed, say the numbers were dwindling and all this, and it's the only way they can make it closed.
Right.
You got to lie about stuff. And when you lie about stuff, you don't want the truth out there.
Right.
So, you know, at least that's my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe it's all out there. And maybe I'm just sadly mistaken and just a grouchy, weird old man who, you know, has no business talking about anything. Which both statements could be true. All right. Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel. There's been quite a few Spanish mackerel down in that area. They've been a little tricky to catch. They're really focused on that really small bait. So the only guys that seem to be actually catching them with a little bit of consistency, they're either being creative and using just a jig head or a lead teeny tiny, like 32nd ounce spoon, the 00 Clark spoon. But they're also trolling them kind of quickly. They're not doing the 1 mile an hour. They're doing the, like, 3 to 5 miles an hour trolling them to get them to hit them.
Yeah, no, I can see that because that's what I tell people. Start out at 2, get your set where you want it, and then if you're marking fish or seeing fish, you're not getting hooked up, bump up a couple hundred RPMs, and you're still not getting fish, go a couple hundred RPMs more. Yeah. You know, you're going to get up there going faster and faster and faster, and I've actually had whitewater rolling off the back of the boat in order to get fish to hit. It sometimes takes a lot of speed because they're aggressive.
Yeah.
And sometimes in order to get their attention, it's got to be going good.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, I just ordered a ton of trolling stuff. I mean, we're going to have a selection of trolling stuff that you've never seen in this area before. And all I can say is I hope gas prices stay moderate.
Right.
You know, people forget it was only 4 or 5 years ago. Gas was $4 a gallon. And a couple years before that, it was $5 a gallon. Yeah. It was up in the fours. It was well over four. Then it was well over between three and four. And now it's been between two and three for a long time.
Yeah.
And so offshore trolling has become big business. And I'm gambling quite a bit of money that the gas price is going to stay down, and that way this fall when everybody comes back, we're going to have this amazing trolling selection for them. And hopefully that's true. If gas prices go up, I just wasted a lot of money. All right, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats.
Gasparilla Sound, they're getting all on the bushes. They're getting a lot of snook and some pretty decent sized ones also still. A handful of redfish. And then out on the tailing flats and out towards the intercoastal, they're getting a lot of ladyfish, some trout, a few Spanish mackerel, and then an assortment of some smaller sharks, you know, mostly black tips and baby bull sharks. A couple guys saw some tarpon rolling through there closer towards sandfly. And they saw them 2 days in a row but couldn't get any of them to chew. And they said they were bigger fish, like 60 to 80 pounds. They weren't the typical juveniles that you sometimes see in there. So that's always kind of interesting when you get that stuff going on. They said there's been a lot of small fry swimming around in there with some occasional school of bigger thread fins coming through. So I think that's what some of that activity is about.
Okay. Yeah. Placida Pier, Gasparilla Pass.
Placida Pier has been getting the Spanish mackerel, a couple of mangrove snapper. There's been around the actual causeway bridges, some bigger Spanish mackerel, some tarpon, and then there's been a few sharks right there through that whole bay area going out through Gasparilla Pass. And then they've also been seeing some bigger tarpon cruising through there, along with some snook along the shoreline of Boca Grande and right through the pass there. A lot of guys being able to see them. The water's starting to turn tannin out there. My girlfriend and I took a drive out there the other evening. You know, we had 2 hours left, said, let's go out and watch the sunset. It's been a while since we've been out there. I wanted to see the beach renourishment on Boca Grande that they just finished. So the pass is starting to get a little brown, and Gasparilla going over the causeway, you can see it starting to get a little tannic.
Hmm.
Still clear, but you can definitely see the tannin.
All right. Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, they're getting some a lot of snook up there in Ski Alley. And then right through Stump Pass, they're getting a whole lot of snook too. And then there's been a couple of reports of a few trout and a couple more redfish being caught along the main shoreline closer towards the Tom Adams Bridge, just north of it.
Trout and what?
Redfish. A lot of guys seeing some fish and then catching a few. That's kind of nice, because what's it been, about 2 weeks since we've had any report for up in there?
Yeah. Okay, Englewood Pier.
Englewood Bridge. Pier, the nighttime fishing's been what most of the guys have been doing there. Snook, a few juvenile tarpon, some ladyfish. There's been some jacks coming through there fairly regularly right at sunset. And then they're catching some small mangrove snapper right there off the pier itself. There's been some pretty sizable snook around the bumpers there too, if you want to fish there in the evenings or first light in the morning. And guys are catching those on thread fins mostly. If you can find some tarpon size, hand size thread fins, that's what they're catching some of those bigger snook on.
Alright, Venice.
Giant snook up in the jetties at night and early in the morning. And then if you're there right at sunrise, a Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish have been coming through pretty regularly. But it seems like you got that first hour after light when it's happening. And then the middle of the day has just been kind of, a few small snapper, a couple of pompano, a couple Spanish, just miscellaneous during the daytime. A lot of guys saying that there's been a lot of big boat traffic coming in and out of there prior to this funky weather.
Well, you know, we were talking about that with the, you know, we've seen the fishing get really, really good back up by the O'Hara-Manchester waterways up there after they took the lock out over there.
Right.
We've seen Burnt Store Isles just go crazy with lots and lots of fish after they took the locks out. And there was no ill effect to the surrounding area that any of us could perceive or have perceived about any of it, having the, you know, water flowing back and forth.
Right.
It seemed like the canals were a little better because they could actually release more water. So, you know, whenever you can get more water out and more water in, it's, you know, better thing. So they're going to put that new, is there one or two things that they're doing new? The one in PGI, they're going to connect to Alligator Creek.
Yep. And then they're going to dredge Pirate Harbor, the channel going out of Pirate Harbor, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, if they dredge across the flats there, I wonder what they're going to do with the spoils. They can't just put it on the side there. They're going to have to haul that off.
Yeah, they'll probably truck it off. They'll probably truck it back into the canal and use somebody's lot to unload it off of.
Yeah, because there's not enough depth there to, usually when you're dredging out a, you know, canal or something, you've got a place to put that.
Yeah.
But there's only 18 inches of water there.
Yeah.
So there's no place to put the spoil unless they go over and create another island with it, which would not be a bad thing.
Not at all. That would be an awesome thing, to be honest.
You know, they
that'd be incredible.
Go around the back side of that one little island and just start backfilling and make that, you know, like a passageway and a couple more little islands there. That would be very helpful.
It would be healthy, but too, because all that thing's so full of biomass inside of it with all the nutrients and all the critters living in it. It would be amazing for the health of the area.
I cannot see any downside to dredging the channel from the harbor to Pirate Harbor. I've thought about it ever since we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And by putting a deeper cut getting into the flats back there, it's the only downside to it is there's going to be a lot of people wanting to fish on the sides of that channel going in and out, because it is going to create a marvelous habitat for the fish.
Yeah.
It's going to allow more fish to live through colder weather, warmer weathers. It's really, I don't see a downside.
No.
I don't have a... anything bad I could say about them dredging across there, because let's say even if it was all covered in grass, that amount of grass versus the surrounding area, the extra water coming up on the flats and leaving the better habitat, it would still be a better thing for there. They need to go through and dredge a channel all the way up through all them islands, all the way up to the north end.
Right.
And you know, allow for more water flow through there, deep water habitat for the fish. I don't have a downside. From the canal going from PGI to Alligator Creek, I don't see, let's say, water flow affecting Alligator Creek in any ill shape. I don't think the water coming out of the PGI canals would possibly bother, you know, the water in Alligator Creek. I don't see where that other water coming in is going to hurt or help it. I don't think it's, I think it's going to be kind of a, you know, a draw for, you know, good and bad on the water stuff.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can see that would be bad is big boats firing up and running on plane in Alligator Creek.
Right. Well, especially since they've moved the no-wake zone way up there now, so you can fly all the way in there.
I don't think there's that many 34, 36-foot, 40-foot boats back in Alligator Creek.
No. Nope.
I think, you know, you've got a few 20s, 26s, maybe a 28, but I don't think there's a lot of boats up there over 30-foot.
Well, yeah, not a lot, but there's a handful in Burnt Store Isles.
Yeah, because it's...
But still...
That would be my only concern about it, because it's going to be a huge benefit to the backside of PGI with all that new water available to get in and out, you know, and especially if they don't put a lock on it, that's going to really be a great thing for the fish habitat, because Punta Gorda Isles really holds a tremendous amount of fish.
It does.
And it's going to create a whole new fishery on that end over there. So I don't see where it's a bad thing. The one thing it probably will do is fill in Poacher's Cut. There might not be the water going through there to sustain it open. That might actually just silt in.
Yeah.
Because if the vast amount of water is going through that canal cut, it could fill in Poacher's Cut.
That I could see.
But, you know, and I don't know, it was filled in once already, and then water finds a way.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, it could make it better, could make it worse, but I don't really see any, people are always upset about something new. I know somebody looking at the Hoover Dam and proclaiming how wonderful that is, and it's awesome, and then turning around to the new bridge they have with the beautiful arches on it and everything, and the one was good because it was old, and the other was bad because it was new.
Yeah.
For no other reason.
Yeah.
You know, new concrete is bad, old concrete is good. I don't get it, because eventually they'll both be old concrete.
Right.
And I just thought it was a beautiful bridge. I thought they did a great job of designing it. Added, you know, it didn't detract from the view. It actually almost enhanced it. I mean, some of the man-made stuff is why things are beautiful. Skylines and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. So, just like over there, I can't think of anything bad, can you?
No, there's nothing profound that jumps out by any stretch. The rest is small, trivial stuff, and just theoretically.
Whether it's dredging the Pirate Harbor Channel or cutting the new canal in at PGI, I can see benefits to both, and I just don't see any detriments on it. But there probably is that I'm overlooking. I don't know. I gotta quit talking about this. Boring. Reefs and wrecks out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Honestly, I haven't had too many reports, very minimal, just because of the crappy weather. But they are still catching some permit out there, a few cobia and Spanish mackerel within 10 miles of shore. And then the two reports that I got for guys that went out farther offshore and, you know, pushed through the storms and dealt with it. Some red grouper, 30 to 35 miles, along with a couple of gags. And they are starting to see a couple of schools of bonita out there now. So, but overall, really pretty quiet, minimal report. That weather was just way too sketchy for any real normal people to run out there. Just the real diehards with the much bigger boats.
Yeah, well, we've got a friend with an 82 or an 84.
Yeah.
They go out, but, you know.
It's about the only boat that I would probably think about going out in.
Yeah, once you're in an 80-foot boat, you're pretty much got to have a hurricane to have a problem.
Well, I'd still only go out there if it was you or him driving the boat. Anybody
yeah,
else?
You don't want me. I don't have the skills anymore.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you're the few that I would trust with something like that.
Yeah, I'm past my prime. I found that out. So, Boca Grande Pass.
Boca Grande Pass has got some tarpon in it. There's been a handful of sharks. quite a few snook being caught along the shoreline. And then they've also been getting the jacks. Did I say Spanish mackerel in the beginning there? No, I don't remember. But Spanish mackerel been coming through there pretty regularly. Guys are trolling through and drifting through. The only thing I haven't had any reports on is usually in July we get quite a few reports of that, of the mangrove snapper in there in really good numbers, you know, right before that full moon. And even after it, I haven't had many reports of the mangs. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Captiva pass?
There's actually been a couple gags were caught out of there last week, along with some tarpon and a few small sharks. Didn't hear of any Spanish or any other stuff, though. Just a little quiet on that end.
17th Street?
Nothing.
Okay, Middle Beach?
Middle Beach has had a lot of snook on it. Handful of jacks. Lizard fish are starting to move back in there again. And then quite a few catfish also being caught there. But it's starting to fill back up with some life. A lot of little bait fish out there, according to a couple customers. Okay. Quite different than last year.
Alright, and Sanibel?
Sanibel, I didn't get anything this week.
Clusatchee?
Nothing.
Yeah. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, there's been a lot of tarpon down there in the Indian fields, a lot of little guys. And then quite a few redfish and snook. There's a couple young guys in here the other day that kayak out of their canal down in there, and they were in here trying to buy it. Well, they did. They bought some of the tiny terror eyes, a twitch stick, some mirrodines to go back down there and try to fish because they grew up here in town. And still, anytime they can, they come up here to buy their stuff. It was kind of cool. And they were 20, early 20s. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's the one thing that for about a year or two we really weren't seeing was much young people coming into the store. You know, it seems like young people have kind of gotten in the habit of buying online.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do, you could have the best prices, the best service, but they have their thought now is geared towards their phone and buying stuff on their phone. They see a video, they go over and they go, oh, I want that, and they buy it.
Right.
And it's not about price shopping or services or anything. It's just literally, that's the way they do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear of towns where businesses are closing up. And I'm not sure the local mom and pops are going to survive the internet wave.
No, that's very, very difficult.
I mean, most of them didn't survive the Walmart thing. Walmart would come into a town and drop the prices and have a bunch of stuff and literally put all the local stores out of business. And in many of those towns, Walmart left.
Right.
They've gone, oh, we're not making enough money. So they've literally destroyed the town and walked away. And in some ways, the internet now is destroying the towns.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Up.
Well, no, because it's their life and their style and what young people are doing. So I'm not going to say it's screwed up, bad or good. It's just the way it's going to be.
No. I was talking about the Walmarts moving into the little towns and then bailing out on everything after closing everything up. You know, that was a couple disheartening places back in Arizona when I was, you know, late teens, early 20s where it did that. And it's like, and they were mining towns, so they were already relatively poor to begin with. They come in, crushed it, killed it, and then one of those towns they actually did move out of. And it's like, the town's pretty much now a ghost town, an old silver mining town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad. And so, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's got a lot of tarpon cruising through there, right along the intercoastal. A few sharks of assorted sizes. There's been some pretty decent lemon sharks being caught down in there with some bigger black tips. And then up along the shoreline, they're getting some snook. Heard of a few redfish being caught. Even had a couple reports of some very small trout being caught down there. And then oddball Spanish mackerel. here and there, you know, and I don't know if they're just not fishing for them, not seeing them or what, but as many reports of everywhere else, I would think they'd still be there too.
All right. Boquilla, Jar Creek.
I got nothing there. Lots of reports of small bait fish. Which I'm surprised, because all those Spanish should be over there too on the outside by those two big sandbars if there's all that little bait fish around.
Just goes to show you how stuff cycles in and cycles out. A few years ago, all we were talking about is the Boquilla area, how much fish were there and how is some of the best fishing around.
Yeah.
It was awesome, awesome, awesome. And now it's hard to get a report out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
A lot of snook, a lot of little snook along the shoreline there, along with a couple decent ones. Been a handful of redfish. Out on top of the bar, you've got a few pompano, ladyfish, and a few tarpon being out there. And then I've heard of a couple cobia being spotted, but not caught. So it's been pretty decent, but a lot of guys are talking about just how great the snook fishing is all on that shoreline there.
Okay, east side of the harbor.
You know, I haven't had much reports on the east side this week. Everything's been right on the outside of the bar for some ladyfish, a couple of small sharks, and guys looking for tarpon. But on the inside, I've gotten one report, and he said he caught a couple of small snook and then left because it was just too hot for him. That was, when was that, Sunday or Monday? He came through the canal, and I chatted with him for a second. He ended up doing all his fishing on the other side, bull and turtle.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking this morning when I was talking to you guys on the other radio show, was that it would be a toss-up for me right now whether I want to fish 41 I-75 in this area up here, thinking some of the big predators are coming for that washdown stuff,
mm-hmm.
or I would probably go all the way out towards Bull Bay, Gasparilla Sound, Pine Island Sound.
Right.
I'm not sure I'd be stopping much in the middle.
Yeah, that one extreme to the other.
Yeah, you know, there's a good chance that all these big predators are coming up in the river looking for all the food coming down, or you got to go all the way out to where you get that cooler, salty water.
Right.
It's going to be one or the other. You're not really going to be sitting there going, oh my God, you know. And it's that middle tweener place right now that's just going to be hard to do something with. Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's got some jacks in it, still a handful of snook. But up inside the Burnt Store Isles Canal's getting some reports of some really nice big black drum, even some smaller drum, and some snook, jacks, and juvenile tarpon. And it's been pretty good reports up in there. And I think that's because some of those guys just didn't want to leave too much out of the canal system because of the weather. So I got a few more reports up in their canals. Stayed close to home.
All right. Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon, black drum, some snook. One report of a spayed fish being caught there, and then a couple of jacks. But, you know, not too terribly bad. One guy was taking his son there yesterday. He was super excited because he's visiting in town, and he heard about it from the website, and he said, I got to go here and check it out.
Well, that's cool. PGI Canals. What's going on?
A lot of snook. A lot of jacks, a lot of juvenile tarpon, and then of course everyone's still fishing, catching, and seeing the black drum. And the black drum have been now assorted sizes. A couple weeks in a row they've all been pretty big fish, but now I'm getting a lot of reports of like that 15 to 30 pound range. So they've shrank a little bit, but still pretty darn good numbers. And I think she's going to try those clams today out back if those black drum show back up. Should be real kind of interesting or curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I'm actually very curious to see what's going to go on with that. If the black drum actually go for them, that's going to be make it a real easy sell.
It
because
will.
You're just going to be able to put them on the hook, and you know, it's not like trying to stuff three or four shrimp on there or a messy blue crab. Throw
right.
a clam on there and be good. Gilcrest right. Pier. Gilcrest Pier.
Got nothing this week off of there.
I will take nothing for 500, Alex.
Right.
Okay, Alligator Creek Reef.
Some tarpon actually been hanging out there a little bit in the afternoons, and then some Spanish mackerel here and there, but other than that, nothing else.
Okay, the deep holes in the harbor.
Tarpon. Lots and lots of tarpon. And lots of catfish. You know, the catfish have been pretty impressive, really. All the bait swimming through there. Lots of schools of small threadies and even some bigger threadies. And that's what those sail cats are really feeding on. But there's even been some pretty good hardhead catfish feeding on them.
Okay, take us into the freshwater stuff.
The bass fishing still has been pretty decent over in the 9 Mile Canal and the
as
north.
As long as you've got a spider.
Yeah, exactly. The Northport Canals and 9 Mile Canal have been probably the most that I've had. And they're catching the bass on the shiners and quite a few different varieties of soft plastics. But we've been selling a lot more worms this week. So guys are fishing, catching tilapia, bluegill, and the occasional Mayan cichlid. So that's picked up a little bit as far as the panfish goes. A couple guys, because the shiners are pretty darn small, fishing for bass and picking up the occasional pretty decent sized crappie as bycatch. You know, one here and one there, but they've been pretty decent sized fish. Which, that's not bad.
No, that's real good.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun to catch a crappie on a shiner because you're just not expecting to do that.
Yeah.
Like, is that a little bass? Wait a minute.
No, but these shiners are so small.
Oh, I know.
You have been giving people discounts on them, right?
Yeah.
Because they are way smaller than what we can charge regular price for.
Right.
All right. Let's see if I can find this here. Okay. Getting into... red dots.
Marker one, mouth of the Mayaca, all through the 20-foot holes.
Okay. It's
been pretty decent. And then
Boca?
Boca's been just starting to turn on, so I mean, I'd honestly go with a 50-50 there.
All right, Captiva. Panarasa.
Panarasa all the way up through the intercoastal, I'd give it a good one.
Okay, now, I didn't understand.
I'm sorry, the red dot? Isn't that
what
you do for the...
All the way from where to where?
From Panarasa, St. James City, up the intercoastal there, because there's been so many guys seeing
up
them.
Up to...
Boca. All right. Sorry.
Yeah, I just wasn't getting how far north. But okay. There's a lot of tarpon in the intercoastal. Yeah. What about along the beaches?
That's more like a 50-50. Guys are seeing them, but it's been so weird weather out there. Not a lot of guys have been fishing it this week to be positive on it.
Okay. How far up have the tarpon been along the beaches, would you say?
Stump Pass was the last farthest report I had.
Okay. Around Placida?
Placida at the causeway.
50-50, red?
50-50.
All right. Along the east side sandbar?
I don't even know if I'd go 50-50 on that one.
All right. I'll just put chance over there.
Yeah.
What about the west side?
I'd say a chance also. Been some juveniles moving out on top of the flats down there, but not enough to really...
All right. Panarasa, Matt Lachey...
The smaller juvies are like pretty given around the Indian fields.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere else you can think of? Turtle Bay, Bull Bay?
No, I think there'd be a chance up there at the 41 bridges and 75. Because like you said, I think they might be, some of those fish might be moving up there with that downflow.
Gotcha.
It'd at least be worth looking if you're coming from any of that direction.
All right, at El Jabin itself?
I'd say the same thing, a chance. Those juveniles have been there just in the morning and then disappearing.
Okay. Anything on the hill or anywhere?
No. I mean, there's been a few through
there.
You
never really heard about the hill this year at all.
Not at all. They moved in and out of there pretty quick. it was a weird pass year.
I'll say.
Hey, it's all right. It kept everyone scattered rather than so congested, which was kind of nice.
Is there anything else that you can think of to talk about?
Hopefully we'll get back into a normal beginning of August weather pattern with our rains rather than this on again, off again, morning, noon, and night thing. It's kind of hard to plan your day when you're hopscotching.
But I can honestly tell you,
I like
it. Every year, and somewhere in the springtime, early summer, we get a week of drizzly weather. And then somewhere in the fall or late fall, we get another week of it. We have literally 2 weeks a year for about 4 or 5 days where it pretty much is just kind of yuck for almost a week.
Yeah.
Usually 4 to 6 days, every once in a while 7 days. But it every year. And it's funny because we only have 48 weeks out of the year where the weather's, you know, you get a storm in the afternoon or it's nice. But for 2 weeks out of 52, we actually are going to have some dreary weather.
I told that to a guy yesterday. He's like, I can't wait for the sun to come out. I'm like, we got 365 days out of the year, so 350 of them are sunny and nice. At least it's not like Portland, Oregon, where it's the complete opposite. They get 15 days of sun, and then the rest is dreary, miserable.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean,
I like it. I wish I could take more advantage of it when it's
like
that. I mean,
think about Ohio, where it's a wonderful place, but many crickets. I mean, you're sitting there looking at, you know, possibly weeks of just
dreary, overcast, half rainy, half sleety, half just doesn't know what it's going to do. Yeah, no.
You could get months where you don't really see the sun very well.
Yeah, no, I'll take this.
And here it's 2 weeks a year.
Yeah, I'll take a couple weeks of inconvenience for this paradise.
But isn't it funny how we always forget that it's there?
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy those overcast days.
Well, for us, it's a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
For most places in the country, you know, they're waiting for that sunshine to come out.
No, we're definitely pretty darn lucky in that aspect.
You say it's better to live in paradise than vacation other places.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. All right. What the heck did I do? Jiminy crickets. I guess if I actually learn how to do this, it'd be better. I don't understand what it's doing, but I guess I don't have to. It's still working.
As long as it's still working, that's the most important part.
Yeah, I'm not sure for how much longer or how well, but we'll see. But anyway, outside of that, I can't think of anything else to chit-chat about outside of, you know.
A lot of people fishing, though. I mean, that's been a good thing. That's been kind of nice to see.
And if you haven't listened to some other shows on, you know, the Fish and Frank's Radio Fishing page, you might want to check a couple out. Some are actually getting pretty good. And, you know, Barry's show is real nice. God and Fishing is good. We got a new cooking show coming up. This week you'll be able to listen to Cookin' Fish. And Cookin' Fish, I think it's going to be a good one. So
that ought to be interesting.
Yep. So I think it's all going to work out. So anyway, let's see. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
There's the little guitar-playing gnome. The long-haired leaping gnome.
Nice.
All right, boys and girls. I guess we will talk to you next week or on one of the other shows on Radio Fishing or something. And thank you. We'll catch you next week. Bye.